deaths of David Palmer, Tony Almeida, and Michelle Desler. They were friends of mine.
That's the way it works.
Jack, Logan doesn't confess. How far are you actually willing to go?
As far as I have to.
Welcome to 24 Under Review, your one-stop shop for all things 24.
Now, let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Previously on 24.
Reed Pollock, Tom's chief of staff, and Carson detonate a bomb, killing Assad and seriously injuring President Wayne Palmer. The men think that because the vice president will enact Tom's policies, they can let him go. When they do, he immediately turns them into the Secret Service. Noah Daniel, the vice president at the time, isn't too happy that Logan is trying to help the government, but he goes through with it. Logan confronts Anatoly Markov, the Russian general consulate, and Markov denies these claims, but they are later confirmed when Jack interrogates him and cuts off a finger in the process. The terrorists' whole plan comes together. They are going to detonate the remaining three nuclear bombs in midair using aerial drones, which they seem to have obtained from the United States. In 2 hours, all the bombs will be in the air. After that, information is extracted by Jack. He carelessly walks outside and the Russians detonate a bomb on the door, knocking him down, and then they arrest him. A man tries to call CTU and inform them of what Jack has learned, but he is killed by Vasily, who is one of the puppets for Markov. With that, the episode ends, and we were left with the question, will Jack get the info to CTU in time?
The following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Logan arrives at CTU surrounded by a blanket of security, and he is quickly put in a holding cell where Chloe comes in, and she has to do something with her nice MacBook Pro, and then it didn't look like much, but they had a little conversation. Nothing new was revealed, but Logan did request to speak to Bill. And then we get Mike Doyle introduced to the whole CTU team. He is the new head of, the tactical teams, and they have a little conversation that doesn't necessarily go too well.
Doyle will help you put a tactical profile together for an assault on the consulate.
So we're prepared to provoke an international incident just to liberate one of our own operatives?
No, liberating Jack is a secondary goal. Our primary objective is to abduct Anatoly Markov, the consul. Now, according to Jack, Markov knows how to find Grudenko, who controls the remaining three suitcase nukes.
Excuse me, but is nobody worried that this could be considered an act of war against the Russians?
Ultimately, it's the vice president's decision if we go in or not. But if Jack is right and Markov is working with Grudenko, the Russians will have to back down.
Sir, Logan is ready for you.
Thank you. I want a comprehensive siege profile on my desk ASAP.
Who has the control keys for the main servers?
I do.
Okay, bracket the scenarios into three. I want projected outcomes based on different levels of personnel.
Doyle, normally we run general attack assessment first, then if there's
any... I don't care what you normally do, Pressman. And I wasn't speaking to you. I was talking with her.
Yeah, it's so weird, because I had this thought that you might come here and not be a jerk like you were in Denver, but you are.
That's right. Just like Denver. Let's get to work.
Take it, you know him?
Yeah. I don't like him very much.
Does he know what he's doing?
Yeah, he's good.
Well, it's good to know that there is a CTU division or something like that just over 30 minutes away from me. Back to the episode. Jack is taken down to the basement where the guy that was killed for trying to inform CTU what Jack has learned is laying. Vasily throws Jack down on the body and then calls Markov to make sure that the plan is set and that he is allowed to kill Jack. During this time, which takes more time than necessary, Jack loosens the belt of the guard, and gets it ready for one of his little plans that he always seems to have. And Markov is up in his office watching it on the security camera, and all he sees is Vasily get thrown across the hallway, and then Jack gets his gun, which has already been pulled out by the belt, and then he shoots Vasily. That's all a very complicated scene. You really have to see it to understand it, but it was definitely believable. I don't know that I could have pulled it off, but it didn't look too fake. Then Markov informs all the security agents to look for him. He's in the basement somewhere, and he gets into a room where guards go into that room, but they don't find Jack, thankfully. He then goes to try to call, but Markov had given the order to shut down phone lines, DSL, and basically all access out. Right as Jack is about to tell Morris where the bombs are and where Gradenko is, the line goes dead. Jack finds a circuit breaker and shuts out power for, I think, only the basement, which turns the emergency lights on. Back at CTU, Bill requests that Milo tell Doyle that Jack is no longer dispensable because he knows where Gradenko is. Bill makes his way into the room where Logan is and tells him they'll have to reschedule the debriefing because something has popped up with Jack. And then Logan asks if it is related to Jack going back in to get the information from Markov. And with that, Bill turns around, and that definitely grabs his attention, and they have a little conversation.
Jack was able to get Gradenko's location from Markov. He tried to call us, but was cut off before he could say more. He's either being held prisoner in the consulate or he's being pursued.
Then I was right, Markov is involved. And he will do whatever it takes to keep Jack quiet.
We have to extricate Jack. And failing that, we have to go in and remove Markov and interrogate him ourselves.
We don't have time to go through the red tape.
There's not going to be any red tape. I'm launching an assault team.
No, that is a huge mistake. Markov will not let himself be taken alive, and he will kill Jack Bauer.
We have to try something. We're running out of options.
If you're trying any pressure from the top, from President Suvorov?
Vice President Daniels has spoken to Suvorov. He's reluctant to act. It's a diplomatic standoff.
He needs to be convinced to get involved.
I don't know how to do that.
I do.
How?
My ex-wife, Martha. She became friends with the Suvorovs, especially the wife. Anya can get through to Yuri. He listens to her. They're a very good team.
With all due respect, hasn't Mrs. Logan been institutionalized?
That's beside the point. She's in a unique position to help us.
All right, I'll put a call into her.
Bill, let me do it. Martha can be very difficult. I think it would be best if I talked to her.
I didn't realize you were on speaking terms.
We're not. But I think I can get through to her. I know I can. Please, let me try.
Outside of the holding room in the main area of CTU, Doyle is outside bossing people around. He is not at all happy, and this just shows some of it right here.
Who's estimating the consulate defense figures?
That would be me.
Where are the numbers?
I'm just sorting them before I put them out.
Of course you are. Where are the numbers?
Oh, I see. It's about whether or not it takes 8 seconds or 10 seconds.
I think your number's sorted three ways. Pick one.
Hey!
Do I have your attention? Because I only want to do this once. I have 25 soldiers that are about to put their asses on the line. Whether they live or die largely depends on what gets done here. That's not to mention the larger threat of 3 nuclear weapons that may be down the street for all we know. So if anyone has a problem taking orders from me without giving me lip, tell me now, and I will have you reassigned.
Doyle, you keep your hands off of my people. Is that clear?
They need to understand what I expect from them.
I know what you expect. That's all that matters. If you promise somebody on my team, you come to me.
Fair enough. Have your team merge their results and download them onto my system.
Back at the bunker, Tom and the vice president, or I guess now the president, Noah Daniels, have a little conversation on the how they're going to handle the bomb and Assad.
Tom Lennox, man of the hour. It's all right. You can leave us alone.
Yes, sir.
So, have you given any thought to our earlier conversation?
Yes, I have, sir.
And?
And I agree that the priority here is to protect our country. And I am prepared to look the other way regarding details of the assassination plot to a point.
Well, what does that mean?
It means the truth must ultimately come out. Reed and Carson need to be punished for what they did.
And they will. Look, all I'm trying to do is keep America united. I can't have our critics screaming, look at how bad we are. We're worse than the terrorists. We need to keep our eye on the ball right now.
And on that point, sir, we are in complete agreement.
Good, because I need you to tell the ambassador of Assad's country that you saw Assad plant the bomb that injured the president.
Sir, looking the other way is one thing. Choosing to tell a lie to the ambassador, that becomes a matter of record.
Now you listen to me. If we expect to navigate through this crisis, I need you to cooperate.
Yes, and I would like to cooperate.
I'm still talking. Come on now, Tom. Let's just count our blessings here for a minute. President Palmer survived this awful attack. Neither you nor I had anything to do with his heinous plot to kill him. And the most beautiful fact of all is that we now have the opportunity to implement the correct policy to stop these terrorist lunatics. Can you just put aside your distaste for my methods for 1 minute? Think about the great gift that's been given to us.
I will think long and hard, sir.
Good. Now, I need you to tell the ambassador that Assad carried in the bomb. I'll take it from there. Okay? Okay. Lisa. Get the ambassador clearance and bring him down here. Let DOJ know that Lennox has been cleared of any wrongdoing and will continue serving as chief of staff.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I would like to know what you hope to achieve in your talk with the ambassador.
I want him to know that I hold his country responsible for all of it. The nuke and the presidential assassination attempt. They need to be motivated to rein in these terrorists. And I want them to know that America is mad as hell and ready to retaliate with a nuclear option if they don't.
If I had finally arrived in Fayette Valley with a few of his co-conspirators and three nukes. Bill finally makes the call to Noah and tells him that they have two plans to get Jack out. One is for Martha to call Anya Sugarov and convince her husband to make Markov surrender, and the other is the tactical option, which is that they can carry out an attack. After a bit of consideration, he says that they will try using Martha first, but they need to have the tactical teams ready to go and they can't wait for Martha, so the timetable to have the guys at the consulate is 20 minutes. And then we get our first look at Aaron Pierce, who is getting back to some little, looks like a cabin. And we then see Martha in there, so obviously their relationship worked out. And then Martha gets a call from Logan, and she talks to him reluctantly for the first time in 2 years.
Martha Logan's bungalow.
May I speak to Martha, please?
Who is this?
It's Charles, Aaron. Please put her on. It's important. Hold on.
Who is it?
It's Charles. He says it's important.
Important to whom?
Mr. Logan, she doesn't want to talk to you.
I heard what she said. Look, listen
to me. I'm in CTU in Los Angeles. I'm here on government business, and it has to do with the nuclear attack.
I don't understand how Martha could possibly be of any help.
What you understand really doesn't matter.
I no longer have to tolerate your sarcasm.
Please, this was not sarcasm. Something needs to be done, and I think that Martha might be able to help.
I don't know what to tell you, Mr. Logan, but Martha simply doesn't want to speak with you. She hasn't taken your calls in almost 2 years. I don't know why you think she would now.
Tell her it's about the Suvorovs.
What?
Just do it, please.
Martha, he wants to ask
you
something.
I don't want to talk to him.
It's about the Suvorovs.
What's wrong? Did something happen?
I don't know.
What is it? Is Anya okay?
Anya's fine, Martha. They're both fine.
Then what the hell do you want?
It's a very delicate matter. There's an international incident brewing, and I think that you might be able to help defuse it.
Let me get this straight. The government is desperate, so they come to you to fix the world, and then you come to me. I can't be dragged in another drama with you, Charles. I won't.
You know what's going on today, Martha. You know that this is important.
This is absurd.
You're still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Aaron. You know I wouldn't be playing games on a day like today.
I know.
You need to convince her to see me. I'm going to take a chopper to you, and I'll be there in a few minutes. Aaron?
All right.
After the commercial break that follows that little conversation, Logan is getting closer to Martha's bungalow. And then Bill informs him over the helicopter's communication system that the assault is ready and that he needs to do this as fast as he can or else they will have to attack. Logan isn't happy and he tells him that it's the wrong decision, which he is basically reiterating what he told Bill earlier in the holding cell. Back at the consulate, Jack tells a guy that is in a room across the hallway from where he was to go get the STATCOM phone, which he learns that that's the only phone they can use from that man. And he also tells him that he has to go and get it as soon as possible or he will kill the girl that the man was with. And I also keep seeing Jack with upper body pains. At first I thought back to season 2 when his heart stopped, but it kind of looked like he was holding on to his stomach, so we'll see what that's all about. And just about then, Logan touches down and is insulted once again when he goes up to Aaron and he won't shake his hand. Once inside, Martha is having second thoughts about whether she wants to talk to him, but Logan convinces Aaron. Well, let's see, this is a little more advanced than it seems. Logan and Aaron start talking, and Logan tells him how they are about to make a bad mistake and be at war with Russia, and then Martha walks out and she's like, oh, you've lost weight, so that lightened the mood up a little bit, and then they have a conversation that's just a little bit tense.
Why doesn't the White House just contact Eric directly?
They did, it didn't work.
Why not?
Martha, this is very complicated. Please don't make me explain everything in details.
I'm sorry. Just do as you say without asking. I'm sorry. You haven't changed a bit.
Look at this. I'm still under arrest. After this is over, I go back to prison. I'm just trying to help.
Prison? Oh, is that what you call a 10,000 square foot house with a swimming pool and a tennis court?
Yuri has to be convinced that this man, Markov, is a traitor to his country.
Anya can make our case for us. You're the only person who can reach her fast.
They talk a bit more, but that sets up the tone for what's about to happen. In the meantime, Martha looks to Aaron for aid, and she asks if he thinks she should call Anya, and he tells her that she should. And then she asks for Anya on the phone, but she can't get on because she is in a political speech in Omsk, I believe. Then Logan gets the call that the CTU team is only a few minutes away from the attack. Back at the bunker, Tom, Noah Daniels, and the ambassador from Assad's country all come into a room to have their little conversation about Assad planting the bomb.
Have a seat, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you. How is President Palmer?
Oh, President's a tough man. He's injured, but we're confident he'll make a full recovery.
What a tragic and despicable act.
I agree. What makes it even more troubling is that a citizen of your country, Hamri al-Assad, was responsible for the assassination attempt.
I understand that Assad lost his life in the blast, but I was led to believe that he was working with President Palmer to promote a peace plan.
Well, I'm afraid that was all a ruse, Mr. Ambassador. Assad's real intentions became clear when he detonated the explosive.
You have proof of this?
Conclusive. Forensic evidence, as well as at least one eyewitness who saw the detonator in Assad's hand immediately before the explosion. Isn't that right, Tom?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Even if what you say is true, you must know that Hamri al-Assad was not working at the behest of our government. He was as much a wanted man in our country as he was in yours.
Oh, not as much. But that's gonna change.
What are you referring to?
The terrorists presently on U.S. soil are acting under the orders of citizens in your country who have the support of your government. I know it and you know it.
That is simply not true.
I say it is, and I'm willing to bet you that I'm right.
What do you mean?
I have a carrier group within striking distance of every major city in your country, waiting for me to give the order.
You would attack us?
Abu Fayyad, a citizen of your country, enters the United States and detonates a nuclear bomb, killing thousands. Next, Assad attempts to assassinate the president.
We cannot be held responsible. You know fully well that we have cooperated with you since the inception of this crisis. These threats against us are reckless and counterproductive. I had an understanding with your president.
And now you're gonna have one with me. You help us find those nukes before another goes off, or I'm gonna unleash the full power of our military on your country.
All right, keep me posted.
I noticed how tense Tom looked. I thought he was going to say no because the Department of Justice starting was told he was innocent. So I don't know. I was kind of surprised he did that. But I guess you have to do what you have to do. Back at CTU, Nadia tells Bill that in 15 minutes the teams will be ready to go in. And Anya is still in the middle of her speech, so they won't be able to get her on the phone for another few minutes. And then Charles and Martha, just like they have been all day, are having some more arguments. And Martha asks the ultimate question. Does it bother Logan to see Martha with another man? And he says yes and then elaborates on it. They talk a little bit more, but nothing big is revealed. And then Martha freaks out for one of these random reasons. I mean, she thinks it's because Logan is trying to be rude. But they get into another argument, which doesn't end too well. So here that one is for you.
Actually, I'm very thankful that you've been able to be here for Martha. You are a good man. She's very lucky to have you.
Now you're trying to irritate me, aren't you?
No, Martha, no. I'm not.
Oh, God, the crap. Well, the sincerity, the new enlightened soul. At least you used to be an honest crook.
That's enough. Please.
Sorry. Oh, you're a good little girl.
Hey,
I did it. He wouldn't stop.
We need a medic in here right now.
He just wouldn't stop, and I know.
It must have hit an artery.
We need a medic in here now.
Hey, Tully, get in here now.
Somebody, come on.
I have to say that wasn't extremely surprising, because earlier in the episode when she was cutting up the kiwi, they did zoom in on the knife when she tossed it across the counter. And then after the commercials, Logan is being taken out of the bungalow on a gurney and is going into shock according to the EMT. Bill tells Aaron that he has been ordered to send an assault team into the consulate, and they need Sugrav's help as soon as possible. As they showed Martha, I was hoping she was in handcuffs. Doesn't matter who she almost killed. She did attempt to murder him, and as of now, it didn't work out. But towards the end of the episode, we'll see. So it's nice to see her in handcuffs. And then she doesn't see it the same way. She thinks she should get a medal, but here's the whole thing.
Why are they doing this to me? I should be given a medal. He was one of the biggest criminals in history. They gave him house arrest.
Martha, we're still in a crisis situation. Are you able to handle a conversation with Anya Suvorov?
Of course I am. I'm not crazy. I know what the stakes are.
Are you sure?
Mr. Pierce, CTU has got Anya Suvorov on the line for Mrs. Logan. Putting it through now.
She said that she wasn't crazy, but I beg to differ. If you recall to last season, she was going to be shipped off to insane asylum, for lack of a better word, because she was insane. So obviously she doesn't even know her condition. The assault team is ready. They're waiting right outside one of the walls of the consulate, and they have a camera that is watching the activity in the front. Martha is very efficient. After just about 1 minute, she has already gotten Anya to go to her husband, and her husband is now on the phone with Markov.
The American stepped on Russian soil. He took me hostage.
We will sort out the details later. Right now, I am ordering you
to surrender to the Americans and deliver Jack Bauer unharmed.
I am afraid I cannot do that, Mr. President.
How dare you disobey a direct order? You will do exactly as I tell you!
With that, Sugrav makes the correct decision and tells Bill that they have his permission to raid the consulate, and the Russian state has the U.S.'s side for this matter. Right as that happens, the guy brings the phone back, and just then the security team comes in, shooting down the man and almost killing Jack. And then after like 15 or 20 seconds of waiting, Bill tells Doyle that they do have the go-ahead. And with that, they slaughter all of the 20-some guards outside, and the guards are about to shoot Jack when the CTU guys throw what I believe was a fragmentation grenade. It could have been a flashbang grenade. I think it's probably a flashbang because it didn't kill them. The CTU team kicked in the windows and then they shot them, saving Jack. And then Markov is upstairs. He calls Gordenko and tells him that they're going to have his position in a few minutes. He pulls out a gun. He's about to go and hold the CTU team off when he is shot 3 times. In Shadow Valley, they have just gotten the launch ready for at least one of them. And it's been, an hour? And just at the end of last episode, we heard it would be 2 hours. So obviously those terrorists like to overestimate to give themselves a little breathing room just in case something were to go wrong. And then as that happens, Bill is told that Shadow Valley is where Gordenko is, and he gives the order to put all satellite coverage on Shadow Valley. And in the ambulance, against recommendations of the medic, Logan moves a little bit and then says, Martha, and with that he flatlines, leaving us with the question, is Logan going to die? I seem to think he probably won't.